Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. I am Frank Robb. That is Cindy. That is Bill. This is our guest over here. His name is Chris Bainbridge.
Yes.
How's
Glad
it going,
to
guys?
Be here.
How goes it?
Going good. Well.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So you told me today was test day, guys. What test day involves at Titusville High School.
It's midterm exams. So for us, because we're a block school, it's the end of the third quarter. So at this time, credits are given. So it's the end of the quarter, and the kids will earn a half a credit for each class that they're in.
If they pass.
If they pass, yeah. Well, and that's what earning means.
Well,
I didn't say we give them.
I should have broke out the thesaurus and thought about a different word.
You should have. Earning. You should have.
So does each, on at the high school level, does each one of those midterms in each class count for a different percentage of the grade?
No, they count. They're supposed to count for your first 4.5 weeks counts for 40%. Your second 4.5 weeks counts for another 40%. And your exam is worth 20% of your overall grade.
Okay.
So there are some classes that are end of course exam classes, and they don't have to give exams because the end of course exam takes the place of the regular classroom exam.
And that's a test that's given by the state.
And those count 30% of the overall grade.
Whoa.
So the end of course exams can be quite punitive or lucrative, depending.
I guess it depends on if you're a good test taker or not, depending on which way you want that to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the state tests, you know, I don't know. You never know what you're going to get.
Never knows. For U.S. History EOC, for instance, there's no there's specifications published, but there's no practice tests or anything available. So we don't see what the test is like. And obviously, if we're proctoring the test, we're not allowed to look at the test the students are given. So as instructors, you're just going by what the state has provided as far as the standards available.
And previous tests, I'm sure, too.
We don't have those.
You're not allowed to see them.
What, you can't see what the ones for the last year looked like?
Nope.
No. No, they will not publish that.
Okay, so then doesn't that make it a little bit hard to teach your class and and be making sure you're highlighting the things that may or may not be on the test? Doesn't that make it a little bit more difficult on you guys?
Well, I think if you follow the standards published by the state, then you're going to be pretty good.
Okay.
And that's basically the guidelines.
Wow. It's like you guys are taking a test teaching the class.
Well, we are professionals.
Yep.
There you go. Sometime.
There you go.
So I was looking at the demographics from the podcast today. I was sharing that with Cindy.
Oh, okay.
So since episode 1 to now where we're at episode 98, today's episode that got published was 98. We keep thinking we're at 100. Today published episode 98. We have 3 more in the bag. So we've actually already done 100. This would be like 102 or something, 101.
Because I figured out, going through what we have in the hard drives, that we've actually done 105. But I know there's some that we didn't.
There's a few where it was just the three of us that we never got to posting.
Right.
I still have those. Like, I might go back to season 1 at some point and throw a few of those in there.
Don't do that.
Be hysterical.
Please don't. My heart just stopped.
I think we only had one guest that we didn't put up.
Right.
And the other ones I think were just us chatting.
Yeah.
But it's so looking at the demographics, averaging where we're at from episode 1 to where we're at now, it's been interesting. You know, since we had Adrian Shine on over there at Loch Ness, European views went way up.
Okay.
Which makes sense. He did the interview from sitting on the banks of Loch Ness in Scotland. Very, very cool. So we are, besides the United States, our second most listened audience. Anyone want to take a guess besides Cindy? Because I know she knows. It's in Europe.
Scotland?
I was going to say Scotland. Germany?
It is. It's Germany.
Germany. Okay.
Yeah, that's number 2 in the list is Germany.
Wow.
That's interesting. So Guten Tag? I don't know. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't strecken she much Deutsch, but I could always figure it out, I reckon.
Well, obviously they're listening in English, so they understand
it. Yeah, I would love some of those people that listen in Germany to leave us a comment about, you know, what kind of other podcasts they listen to in Germany. That maybe there's stuff over there similar to what we're doing. I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But it'd just be interesting. So, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe. All right, cool. You guys ready to jump into this?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Cindy, you look like you have a thought, Cindy.
I have no thoughts, Frank.
Oh.
I never have thoughts.
See, okay. My thoughts are always empty, too. Yeah. All I have is empty thoughts.
That is such a lie.
It is.
So today on the podcast, we are joined by Professor of
nothing. I am a public school instructor, and that'll be it.
I'll still call you Professor Chris Bainbridge.
He always refers to me as his professor.
I like it.
And it's like, okay.
It's true. He was. Yeah, you guys both were. I don't think I was ever in your class.
You were in my class.
I was in your class.
I believe it was a U.S. history class. You sat in the very back seat. In the middle row.
Was I a trouble causer?
You were
he
not.
He remembers you, and you don't remember him?
No, I knew we knew each other. Yeah. I just didn't realize I was in your class.
What kind of a student were you?
Excellent student.
I was a pretty good student, I'd like to think. I don't think I ever got a single detention or referral or anything all throughout school.
No. Frank was never a behavior issue. Never.
Well, your class is a little bit different.
Right.
I was kind of not encouraged. I was out playing with critters, you know, already.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was in my own mind causing chaos, but not really in the classroom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do remember the time that you called that alligator. And I was like, what in the world are you doing, Frank? Don't worry, Mr. Curtis. As soon as he gets over here, he'll see that we're not what he thinks we are, and he'll go away. And sure enough, he did.
Good Lord.
But I mean, he scared me to death.
Well, rightfully so, yeah.
Yeah.
Things that you don't expect high school students to do, probably. So,
yes,
Mr. Bainbridge, how many years is this for you here
this
at Tidesville High School?
Number 30, wrapping up number 30.
And have you been teaching history the entire time?
Social studies, not just history. I taught law, court procedures, psychology once.
At the high school level?
Yeah.
Man, why wouldn't we have those classes when I was here?
You did.
I didn't know we had those opportunities. I would have taken that in a heartbeat. That would have been a blast.
You didn't choose to take, I suppose.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know we had the option.
So I've actually taught every one of the social studies courses.
Okay. So where did you go to school? Where did you go to college?
University of Florida.
Okay.
Fighting Gator.
So do you want to ask the question or do you want me to ask the question?
What? No, you go ahead.
So I was hearing this rumor whenever we first got in here that you you had your entire college paid for. From an interesting trait of being in the world cheerleading.
I'm not exactly sure what's wrong with being a cheerleader.
There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome.
Often those questions are asked with a little negativity.
A little twinge of judgment.
No judgment. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. I think he's...
If I could do flips, I'd flip all over the place.
Well, typically collegiate male cheerleaders aren't doing flips.
Oh, you're pushing things.
You know, lifting and stuff like that.
Yes. Flipping people.
Well, we don't call them things, you know, in cheerleading. Lifting people.
Well, I mean,
tossing people.
Flipping things as in flipping things like what do they call the flips? You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
The hole keeps getting deeper, Frank.
Well,
I
say flipping things. I mean flipping, you know, that they're doing backflips and I don't know what the words are for the crazy twists and things.
Yeah,
wasn't
stunts,
thinking about the people.
The stunts.
Certainly, cheerleading is a noble pursuit. No doubt about that.
No doubt about it.
It's incredibly hard work. I was in the best shape of my life when I did cheerleading. People don't understand how much those athletes actually train.
No joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Zero doubt. I could never do a backflip or a front flip or a handspring or what do they call them things?
Well, you know, the UCF cheerleading squad is national champs this year. They were the national champs.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Because I have season tickets to basketball. And so we go and they always do as they're getting ready to go to competition, they practice, you know, they show us their drill or whatever you call it, the show.
Routine, Bill.
Routine. It's a routine. Sorry about that.
There you go.
It's a routine. And it was fantastic. It's amazing what they can do, you know. Throwing people up and doing these pyramid things and all this kind of stuff.
I believe they've been national champs before.
They have.
I don't know how many, but they're...
About 4 or 5 years ago, I believe.
They're prolific.
Yep.
When you guys were at Florida, were you guys ever national champions of cheerleading?
I'm not sure. I do not recall.
Did you start cheerleading at a young age? Last cheerleading question. Okay, we're good. oh, my garage. All right. Over the course of 30 years now?
Yes.
Tell me about what has changed in the world of teaching. What's kept you interested in it, and your real passions behind your work.
Tough questions, Frank.
Yeah,
someone told me this was going to be easy.
Oh, it
he
was.
Lied.
Indeed, lies abound. I would say what's kept me here is the students. You know, we've got tremendous students here at THS, and the relationships you build with students, and you know, there's something different every single day, basically from every student. You know, the surprises, that you know, the kid who comes up to you, hey, I got a 5 on my end of course exam. They show me the score. You know, to the kid who's, you know, can I go practice band and get ready for competition? So it never changes. It just, I mean, it's constantly changing, and there's nothing that remains the same, I'd say, from day to day, year to year. I don't know what the most prolific change is.
I got a question for you. This is I've been wondering about this, because you spent most of your career here in athletics, you know, as a basketball coach or some kind. And so recently you've put that down. And what is that? What's that been like?
It's hard to describe. I don't miss it. I coached basketball for 35 years. I was varsity head basketball coach here at THS for the last 20 years. Well, 20 years. I retired from basketball 2 years ago. And I thought, well, this is going to give me a lot more free time. But I have no more free time. Matter of fact,
you filled it with other things.
I feel like I'm busier now than I was coaching basketball, you know, every day after school in the gym from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, games, getting home at 11 o'clock at night for games. But I don't miss it. It's the oddest thing, because I thought for sure 35 years, I don't know what I'm going to do. But it was time to give it up. And definitely don't regret any of the hours I spent in the gym, but it's not bad not having hours in the gym. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's nice to take a break from things and kind of refocus sometimes, without a doubt. That's a long time to be coaching.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long time. You're still part of you still run the fishing club.
Well, we didn't do the fishing club this year. We started it last year.
Okay.
We're definitely going to get it back going again. We're thinking about creating a fishing and this is where I need your help, environmental, what I call it, inland waters conservation enhancement program over the summer. The Brevard Public Schools offers a 4-week enhancement programs availability. So with, you know, the right guidance, teachers are able to create these enhancement programs in which students can come 1, 2, 3, or all 4 weeks. So we want to put together teaching kids how to fish and then how to conserve the environment that fishing is most likely to use.
Yeah, I'm all in. Tell me how you need me. I can already think of several groups we could include in that locally here too that would be all about it.
So we're right now in just the planning stages. I have to apply for it by next Friday. So I've pretty got the application all filled up, and I'm just ready to submit it. And then, of course, I knew I could count on you.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to get to you through Bill, but that's, you know.
Well, you kind of did.
He won't say no. He doesn't know how.
All right.
Yeah, you still did. I'd be happy to help.
Your plan is to teach them how to fish and maybe go fishing a couple of days during a 2-week span and bring in guest speakers and talk about how we can be better stewards of our, you know, our coastal environment. Because let's face it, we'd be in dire straits if that something negative happens to that.
Yeah, I can help you with all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, consider it done. That's easy.
Sounds good.
That's easy.
For people in the community that are hearing this that may want to help, I assume there are supplies and things that you'll need donated.
Well, we're working on supplies. I've just finished a grant application to get 30 rods and reels donated from the Florida Tag, fishingtag.org, floridafishingtag.org. And they donate up to 400 rods and reels. I figured we probably have around 30 kids in the program. Some of them will already know how to fish, and there'll be some that are in the program that have never even picked up a rod and reel. So
that
should be
a lot
of fun.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's, man, just that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea. So what you said you're going to try, you're staying around at least 5 more years, right? Hopefully.
5 more seconds, maybe. 5 more years.
I sure hope so. So, you know, do you have any, I'm sure you have a million stories about students that have left, have went on and done amazing things along the lines of what you teach.
Well, I don't know. Some students come back. Some students, you know, stay away. We see several students still in the community. So I'd say, you know, pretty much they've all done amazing things.
Yeah. So is there anything that really sticks out to you, like a student that went on to do something, maybe teaching in the same field or going on to do something in government?
Oh, yeah. You know, interns with Congress, we've had those. Movie producers in Hollywood, FBI agents.
Wow.
We've got several of those. So, you know, there's you know, tons of them that have gone on to, you know, do bigger and better things than what we've offered here at DHS.
Yeah. Tell me about the early days of Bill Curtis, when you first when you first met Bill Curtis.
Bill hasn't changed a bit. I think Bill came in the second half of my first year, I think.
Actually, I did my internship the year before you started.
Okay.
I interned for Karen Ball and Karen Zach.
All right.
And then the year that you first started, I subbed most of the spring semester for Karen Zach.
Yeah.
And then I got hired.
Yeah.
So
the only difference is Bill abandoned the social studies department and went into TV productions and the CTE program. So that's the, you know, my major bone of contention with Bill. But other than that, we've, you know, been sort of, you know,
now,
OGs.
I taught social studies as I had one class for a long time.
You
up
did.
Until like 10 years
you did.
Ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I refer to us as the OGs, the old guys.
The old guys,
you know?
Indeed.
There's a four or five of us that are still here from back
yep.
then. But
any early on Bill stories?
Not
that
really.
That you can tell on camera that is.
Probably, that's classified information.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of exciting stories to tell, you know. We're just sort of in our own spheres as many public educators are. We don't see each other very often.
You got to understand teachers. I mean, yeah, we sit in our room. We're in our spot.
Yeah.
And although we work in the same school, if you don't want, and that was the thing about Chris, when he started, he was, and it was weird because you would say good morning to everybody and teachers, and we didn't do that. You didn't talk to another teacher. You didn't
wow.
address them. And Chris would go out of his way to say good morning to you. And so then I started saying good morning to
there
other people
go.
Too. And
that's awesome.
And then people started getting a little friendlier, but yeah, you just didn't do that because you were isolated in your own space and you have your kids. But as far as teachers go, we don't really interact all that much.
Not a whole lot of opportunity to interact.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're in your classroom and then you're supervising outside your classroom, then you're back in your classroom and you've got 20 minutes basically for your lunch break and then you're back at it. So. The interaction, maybe at faculty meetings, maybe, you know, once a month for faculty meetings or department meetings when Bill didn't abandon us, you know, we could hang out together. But other than that, it's sort of isolating, to be honest.
We talked about this a little bit before the podcast started, but do you remember some of the things the OGs used to tell you guys when you were first starting that maybe now you pass on to the teachers that are just starting? You remember anything they used to tell you? Anything like really stick to you?
No, no,
no,
no. They would tell you, well, you know, you get to the end of your career and you're like, you know, all these kids are terrible.
when you're
awful.
Burnt out and you
and you don't have any patience anymore and you kind of lost the joy for it. And so that's one of the things I try not to do. I don't want to be.
I mean,
you
guys have to have some like good advice though. You hand on it to newer teachers.
It's kind of hard because it's your own. You make it your own. You decide how you're going to interact with your kids. And I can tell you, most teachers that I've met, they all have different ways of doing it. And they all, you know, Chris, very, very sarcastic.
It's a beautiful thing.
And gruff.
There is
a
certain type of student that appeals to, though, and I am raising that student.
Yes.
Yeah.
She loves his sense of humor.
Yeah,
I think, again, and Bill knows this just as well, the idea that you're trying to make each kid feel like they're the kid, you know, like that. Like if you can pick out one thing, and I forget, the other day a student told me something about something they did, and about 4 days later, I mentioned that to the class, and, you know, the kid just lights up and you know, big giant smile on their face that I remembered that about that kid, and I thought enough of the kid to say it to everybody else, so... I think those sorts of relationships that are built, that's the kind of advice that I would give any brand new teacher is to, you know, treat each kid the same as far as, you can't treat them each the same, but treat them each the same as trying to make them feel like they're the only, you know, the special kid,
yeah.
They're the only kid. And I think that's part of what I would try to say to anybody. But back to your original, you know, you mentioned some of the old guys. When we were first starting out, I catch myself all the time thinking, you know, dang, I sound like that old curmudgeon that used to say that back 30 years ago when we first started. And, you know, so that's sort of interesting how it goes cyclical. You know, we're back sort of being the old guys that we made fun of back when we first started.
What about you 30 years ago? If you were talking to you now, what would you tell you? You know, pre-coaching, so pre all of it, what was a couple of things you would remind yourself or kind of say, hey, get ready for this, whatever this is?
Probably you can't change some things. Some of the things that occur, you know, that I like to see changed, and I make suggestions. Can we change this? Can we do this? And, you know, the basic, you can't really sweat that sort of thing. If you can't change it, you're probably not going to change it. So, you know, sort of let it roll off and keep moving in that positive direction.
That's great advice.
Yeah, it's the same thing we see with new social workers that are coming right out of school. They're stepping in for the first time. They're coming in with this concept of what they think mentoring is going to be like. And I'm sure it's very similar to teaching, that you've got to walk in and be willing to leave everything you thought you knew behind, adapt and meet those kids or those clients or whatever your population is that you serve. Meet them where they're at. Because like he said, every single person you're interacting with is different. What motivates one person isn't going to be the same. What works to keep one kid on track is going to be totally different than the next.
Makes sense. So I know you told me your daughter's in his class now.
Oh, so she'll love us talking about her.
That's what I was going to say. She's going to hate the fact that we're going to talk about her. So let's do it by all means. No. So Cindy's daughter's in your class right now. How is that?
Suffers when you do this, Frank. Yeah.
She ain't going to listen to this, is she?
Probably not.
Yeah, she'll never even know. Is her daughter like a huge troublemaker?
Not at all. She is intellectually gifted.
Yeah.
Focused and on task constantly.
She will appreciate that you said that.
Only time I ever made that kid laugh was literally talking. Susan from the SPCA was coming in, and they were all like super excited, like, "Yeah, she's gonna bring a dog." I'm like, "Yeah, the dog didn't make it." And they go, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Dog died."
The story doesn't translate well when you.
it doesn't.
I'm just making a bad joke.
Yeah, I was making a bad joke, and her daughter just starts busting up laughing. I'm like, "Oh, it's dark humor. Yeah, dark humor is her thing." Okay, like I had wow. That was, I mean, okay, yikes. Yeah, good times. So I understand you brought some homework. You want to jump into that?
Sure, let's jump.
All right, you guys ready for homework?
There we go.
I don't know. I've been losing lately. I don't like it.
We've had a couple of weeks off on trivia. I don't think we've had trivia for a few weeks.
It's been a couple of weeks. Yeah, well, because we didn't have the Loch Ness guy didn't give us trivia.
Well,
the Bigfoot guy didn't give us trivia.
Well, they kind of did give us trivia.
They went through a lot of stuff. Yeah.
They kind of gave us trivia in their own right. Holy moly. And my brain still hurts in a pretty awesome way. Okay, so do you have a theme behind your trivia?
No theme. I was instructed to bring 5 trivia questions.
Okay, so it's...
whatever the topic, whatever the subject, it
potpourri.
Didn't matter.
It's potpourri.
Yes. There you go.
There you
potpourri.
Go.
Okay.
That's my favorite.
All right, awesome. All right, what's number one?
I didn't know I was going... You know, Bill knows everything, so I'm a little bit embarrassed.
He does know a lot.
I do not know.
At whatever. The ease at which these questions will be answered. But here we go. Samuel Langhorne Clemens is the birth name of which American author?
I know this.
Okay.
The fact that you're struggling to answer it tells me.
Is it Mark Twain?
It is indeed. Yes. Mark Twain.
Very good. Wow. Mark Twain.
Good job, Cindy.
Miss Spiedel would have been
Samuel,
proud.
Samuel what yes. now?
Langhorne Clemens.
No wonder he goes by Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Or went by Mark Twain.
Mark Twain
sense.
Actually comes from the steamboat marking the depth of the Mississippi River. He worked on a steamboat in his early years.
Yeah, they drop a knotted line right. to mark the depth.
Yeah.
And so if it's 2 knots, it's Mark Twain.
What?
Yep.
And yeah.
The knots, I believe, are 6 feet apart, I believe. So that's where he comes up with that name. How about that?
I didn't know that.
I told you Bill knew everything.
Didn't know that either.
All right, question 2.
That was very good.
Whitney Houston's hit, I Will Always Love You, was originally written and performed by which musician?
Oh, I think I know that.
Nice.
So she wrote it and this other musician performed it?
No. Whitney Houston performed this artist's original. it.
Is it a man or a woman?
I know this one.
Like, you know it?
Oh, yes, I know it.
Oh, okay, then I got to stay out of this then.
Enlighten us.
Yeah.
It was Dolly Parton.
It is in
Was it
Dolly
really?
Parton.
Yeah, it was Dolly Parton.
That makes sense.
I would love to hear her perform that, though.
I wonder if she ever did.
Oh, she absolutely did. Yes. Her rendition is better than Whitney Houston's, in my opinion, but, you know, I'm an OG.
That might be the most controversial statement that has ever been made on this podcast.
All right, this might get you. I don't know. Let's see. Which Civil War nurse founded the American Red Cross?
Florence Nightingale.
That was
no.
That's where I was just,
no.
I think she's British.
Oh,
I think that was World War One.
Wait a second.
As soon as it came out of my mouth, I went, "Nope." Mm-mm.
I know this is in my brain somewhere. It's in my brain.
I don't know this one.
It's in my brain.
Clara Barton.
Nope, it wasn't in my brain. Nope, I would be lying if I said it was. It was definitely not. So, Clara Barton.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
See, there you go.
I'll store that in there for like the next 5 minutes.
Number four. The Rose Bowl takes place in which California city?
Oh, I know that one.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I do.
I just don't want to
embarrass I've been there. And it's a lovely city. Pasadena.
You are correct.
I knew that one too.
If I had known what these were for, I could have spiced them up a bit. And the final trivia question. Who is the only United States president to have served 3 full terms?
You nodded as though you know.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I was a history teacher. This is a pretty history teacher kind of question.
Be Roosevelt?
I thought it was Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah, okay. Right. I was like, I was a little bit shy for saying that for some reason.
He died
during
his fourth term.
Yeah, during
the beginning of his
He was elected 4 times.
You've been teaching social studies for a long time. Give me one random fact that most people don't even think. Maybe something you go over every year and nobody ever expects it. What would it be?
That's
a hard
one.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
There's gotta be. I'm wondering. You know, I know every subject probably has it. You know what I mean? With crocodilians, I know what it is very easily.
What is it with crocodilians?
It's always talking. It's usually something to do with them being half body and half tail.
Now, is it true that crocodilians can't get cancer?
It's hard for them.
Yeah, so their chromosomes repair themselves, so it's not something that can easily happen.
Okay.
So they can, we can do the same thing, but their chromosomes immediately repair themselves. So there's got to be a lot of other factors going along to bring something to that point. But
okay.
Yeah, it doesn't just...
So they have to be weakened.
Yes, which is a lot of what
we're... Some interesting research has been done on that.
Yeah, which is a lot of what we're seeing here locally, because everything knocks their systems down and then allows things like that to take over. So you start seeing MRSA and stuff like that on their blood and in their systems.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyhow, I digress.
No, you didn't. I asked you a question.
Oh.
That's how Frank and I met.
Okay.
When he went back to school to further his research on that.
Oh, okay.
Literally. Yeah, in the lab with pieces and parts, yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep, in a lab that shouldn't have had that stuff in it, but...
But it did. So.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, it's hilarious. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you for what you've done for this community and so many students for so very long. Really, really, really appreciate you.
You are welcome. It has been my pleasure. It really has. I know you see folks and the reaction to public education and public educators, teachers, and most of us really, really enjoy what we do, for sure.
Yeah, I can't imagine having went to school anywhere else. It wouldn't have been the same. I loved public school. I understand that some people, it ain't for everybody, I guess, but I've loved every second of it. And I don't think I say this to Bill almost every episode, but I wouldn't be where I am today without teachers like you guys getting me here. I wouldn't be. My life would have been shaped totally different. It's true. Yeah, it's true. But yeah, I'm not going to say that again. Appreciate you. Thank you very much for being here, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, guys. You ready for another episode to be off the deep end?
Are you? Sure. Yeah, okay. We can do that.
All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning into the Year's Podcast, produced by Terrier TV here at Titusville High School. You can find us on all platforms by searching Ears, EEARSS, Ears. And we'll catch y'all next week. Bye-bye.